But we have a lot of mental images of who Jesus was and what he did. A lot of them are very sweet and wonderful. The image of Jesus, the good shepherd, with the little baby lamb around his neck. We know that one. Or perhaps Jesus surrounded with children sitting on his lap as he talks to them and laughs with them. There's the image of the sweet baby Jesus from Christmas in the manger. Or there's the Jesus who cared for people, who loved them, who healed them, always there for them. Or perhaps you know the image of Jesus in prayer, Jesus always taking time to be with God in prayer. Or my favorite popular image of Jesus is the Jesus who just strikes these poses, who just in slow motion kind of moves like this as he does all kind of amazing things. Very, very famous, popular in movies about Jesus. But there is the other side of Jesus, and that's what I want to talk about today. The side of Jesus where Jesus is embroiled in conflict and controversy, because that was also an important part of Jesus' ministry. In our gospel story for today, there is a controversy with his own family. At the very beginning of his ministry, as Jesus preaches and teaches, as he becomes very popular and very sought after, his family comes to him, not to listen to him, but to take him home because they have heard that people are saying he has gone out of his mind. People are saying Jesus is crazy, and his family comes actually to grab him and to take him home and lock him up. Because in this story, the scribes, those who are already at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus' opponents, they were saying that Jesus was possessed by Beelzebul. He was possessed by Satan's right-hand archdemon, and he needed to be gotten rid of. This is not the only story of controversy with Jesus. In Luke's gospel, in chapter 4, right after Jesus is baptized, right after he is tempted in the wilderness, he goes back home. It's always great to go home, and Jesus goes home, and on the Sabbath, he goes to the synagogue, and people who've heard of him, what he's doing, they give him the scroll to read, an onerous duty. And what does Jesus do? He takes the scroll, and he opens it up to Isaiah chapter 61, and he reads these words of prophecy. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Jesus says, God has anointed me. And the word anoint in the Hebrew language is the word Messiah. And Jesus claims that all the things God's Messiah will do, I will do. And at the end of the reading, he sits down and says, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And how do his own hometown people react? We are told that they are filled with rage. How dare he say that? We know this guy. This is Mary and Joseph's kid. Where does he think he's getting off? And they actually drag Jesus out of town, and they want to throw him off a cliff and kill him, a cliff on the outside of Nazareth. But Jesus gets away from them. So much for local boy comes home and makes good, huh? Or another story of Jesus in Mark's gospel in the third chapter where Jesus is in the synagogue and there's a man there whose hand is withered. And Jesus' enemies watch, not to be amazed at what Jesus can do, but they watch to see if Jesus heals this man, we can get him for breaking the Sabbath law. And when Jesus does heal the man, his enemies go out to conspire to kill him. So much for how to win friends and influence people. There are still more stories. In John chapter 6, later this summer, the gospel text for 6 weeks will be John 6, the story of Jesus feeding the multitudes and then talking about being the bread of life. By the end of that chapter, after Jesus has said such things as whoever wants to follow me needs to eat my flesh, we are told that almost everyone who followed him went home and left him. And we can never forget the story of Jesus in the temple, driving out the money changers, the action in the last week of his life which led directly to his death. Jesus, we need to understand, was a very controversial figure. And I want to talk today about why Jesus was so controversial, why so many people hated him, and why were so many people, including his own family and disciples, put off by him. There are many reasons. I want to just hold up a couple for you today. One is this. I think Jesus was so controversial because he was so faithful to God. Now, most people would agree religion's a good thing in moderation, right? Because what do you call those people who take their faith a little too seriously? Fanatics. Now, as you've heard me say many times, it's perfectly okay to be a Green Bay Packer fan, which is the exact same word, fanatic, but you don't want to take your religion too seriously. But that's exactly what Jesus did. He was completely and totally faithful to God, which is something most of us have trouble with. We heard today the story of Adam and Eve in the garden, who were told by God, you can eat any fruit in the garden except one. Don't eat that one. Stay away from that one. It's not good for you. Don't touch it. Don't eat it. So what do? They eat that one. And after they do, we are told their eyes are open, and they hide themselves from God. They cover themselves with branches, with leaves. And when God comes to them, and he says, Adam, why are you hiding from me? Did you eat the fruit I told you not to do? What does Adam do? In great human style, he blames someone else. He says, God, the woman you gave me. He manages to blame God and the woman in one sentence. And God says to Eve, did you really do this? And Eve says, the serpent you gave me did it. We are so good at blaming others. It's called sin, because at the middle of that little word sin is the letter I. Because sin is all about I, me, me, me. Sin is thinking we know better than God. And Jesus was so controversial because he challenged the religious leaders of his day and the sinful things they were doing and the way they put themselves in the center of everything. Jesus lived out these words of Psalm 25. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. Jesus lived to show us what faith in God was all about. When he talks about the words of that great commandment, Jesus truly did live them out. He loved the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, and mind. He didn't just talk the talk. Jesus walked the walk. Jesus realized it's not about me, which is a very amazing thing for him to do, because Jesus is the greatest and most important person who has ever lived. But what does he do on the last night of his life? He washes the feet of his disciples, the action of the lowest servant in the household. What does Jesus pray the last night of his life to his heavenly Father? God, I don't want to die, but not my will, but yours be done. Jesus showed people what real faith was all about, and people didn't like it. I think a second reason why Jesus was so controversial is he stuck up for people that others would not stick up for. He lived in a very judgmental world where people were put into different classes. The story of Jesus defending the woman caught in adultery, where the crowds want to stone her to death. It's a fascinating story, because if they caught the woman in the act of adultery, shouldn't they have caught someone else with her? But where's he? In his world, only the woman would be held accountable. Jesus defended her. Jesus, we've heard the stories of Jesus healing lepers, but we have to understand what he truly did when he healed lepers. Leprosy was the most contagious and deadly disease in the ancient world. And what does Jesus do when he heals lepers? The Gospels tell us he touches them. He runs the risk of becoming infected himself. Jesus stood up for these people who were literally cast out of society. We know the story of the Good Samaritan, and for most of us it's a really sweet story. But we have to understand the importance and the radical nature of Jesus' story here, because he makes the hero of the story someone that Jews would hate, the last person in the world they would think would be the nice guy. It's like if he told the story today, a person was traveling down the road and they were beat up and left for dead. And along came a New York City firefighter who saw the person and passed by on the other side. Along came a member of the Navy SEAL Team 6 and saw the wounded man and passed by on the other side. And then along came an ISIS militant. And he stopped and he took the man and he bandaged him. And if Jesus told that story to you and me today, we would be going, how dare you? But Jesus stuck up for those who were the outsiders. What does he do as he dies on the cross? He remembers that thief who asks him to be with him. I think a third reason Jesus was so controversial is because he just didn't do what people thought you should do. He was always flouting the laws of his day. He was always pushing the envelope with everything. His enemies were constantly accusing him of breaking God's holy law. He eats with sinners. He's eating, he's hanging out with the wrong kind of people. He's working on the Sabbath day when you shouldn't work. People love to talk about Jesus and gossip about Jesus, and it's really nice that never happens in the church today, right? That we are so good and wonderful that we never talk about anyone else in the church. Did you see what they did? I can't believe they did that. Jesus pushed the rules. He forced people to think about what they were doing, and people don't like to do that. They would rather judge, and that's why Jesus makes it very clear when he says, "Don't judge, lest you be judged." And finally, I think Jesus was very, very controversial because he practiced extreme forgiveness. We should never think that Jesus took sin lightly. Jesus hated sin. But because Jesus hated sin so much, he also took forgiveness very seriously. And he wants us to do the same thing, which we have difficulty doing. I'm in the middle of cleaning out my office because when we start building, I'm moving into an office that's about half the size of the one I have. So I've got 33 years of junk in my office. So I'm spending every minute I have tossing stuff. And as I was going through my files, I found Pastor Paul saves old sermon notes that kids write. And this is a sermon note from one of my students at St. John's from about 20 years ago. And I'm glad I saved this one because after a sermon I preached on, the sermon title was Things That Really Ticked Jesus Off. This student wrote this. She said, "I never knew Jesus gets ticked off at us for the things we do. I always thought it doesn't matter what we do, we are forgiven anyway. I should take Jesus more seriously." A very wise young person 20 years ago, huh? Jesus takes sin very seriously, but he also takes forgiveness very seriously in a world where a lot of people have trouble with forgiveness. He puts it in the Lord's Prayer. "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." And it actually says in the Greek language this: "Forgive us our trespasses as we have already forgiven those who trespass against us." When Peter asked Jesus, "Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive my brother if he sins against me? Is 7 times enough?" Jesus says, "No. 7 times 70, which does not mean count 490, and on 491 you can beat the you-know-what out of him. That's not what Jesus means. He means forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. And how do we know Jesus practiced what he preached? As he's dying on the cross, he asked God to forgive the people who were killing him. Jesus said and did a lot of things that probably got people thinking, this guy really is crazy. He dared to say this about himself: "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me." He made amazing claims about himself. He claimed to speak with the authority of God. In Matthew's gospel, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, there's a whole series of sayings where Jesus says, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." And what he basically does is he takes the law of Moses and he changes it. And he claims an authority from God that is greater than Moses's. Jesus dares to say, "I speak with the authority of God." And for the people of his day, that was blasphemy. Blasphemy is equating yourself with God. And it's one of the charges leveled against Jesus when he was crucified. Jesus also got people thinking he was crazy because he dared to challenge the way they have done things. You've heard Pastor Heidi and me say all again and again, you know, the last words of a dying church is, "We've always done it this way." We church people are really good at that. It was great last Sunday, graduate Sunday, when the church was really full, and people came in to go to their seat to find out that someone from the other service was sitting in their seat. And you could see wonderful Lutherans walking going, "But I always sit there." Jesus warns us that he brings something new, something new that will challenge us. He calls us to take a long, hard look in the mirror because he knows that so often when we do, we see something that's not really there, that we are so good at deluding ourselves. All of these things that Jesus said and did got people upset with him, caused people to think this guy's a little bit off kilter. But for those of us who know Jesus, who believe Jesus, all these things Jesus said and did are an invitation to life in his name. Remember all those nice pictures of Jesus at the beginning of the service today? Jesus with the sheep and the children. Those are nice. And it's great to have Jesus in our lives when things are going really great. But you know what? A lot of times in our lives, things aren't going real well, are they, folks? And I kind of like a Savior who's tough and controversial and who shakes things up, because that's the kind of Savior who will help me through those difficult times in life. Jesus says to those who come to him in our gospel for today, "Whoever does the will of my Father, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother." He calls us to dare to do what God says in his life. And when we do that, says Jesus, we are his family. He wants us to be his family. Jesus wants us to really follow him. He told those disciples, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people." He offered them a new way of acting and a new way of thinking. He offered them a new way of being them through him. And in our world where you follow people on Twitter and Tumblr, which is a real pathetic thing to do very often, Jesus says, "I really actually want you to get up and follow me." That's his invitation to you and to me, because when we do that, we may have what Jesus promises. We may have life, and we may have it abundantly. And as Christians, we know one more thing. We know Jesus wasn't crazy. We know he wasn't nuts, because the empty tomb proves that. On Easter, when that tomb was empty, and Easter, when Jesus was raised from the dead, he proclaimed to the world, God proclaimed to the world, this Jesus of Nazareth, he really is who he said he was. And you really need to listen to him, and you really need to follow him. I believe that Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, is probably the most controversial person who has ever lived. But I also believe he is the most important person who has ever lived. And with all my heart, I believe that he is my Lord and my Savior. And that when I follow him, when I do his Father's will, when you follow him, when you do your Father's will, then you have that life that he promised. So think about your Lord and Savior this week. Think about Jesus, all he is, all he did, all he dares you to be, and make sure we all follow him. Amen.